the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, this week was the final week to file your taxes. We've been talking about taxes the last couple of weeks here on the program. Tax returns were due April 18th, unless you're filing for an extension, which, by the way, does not absolve you of your responsibility to pay the tax by the April 18th date. Nevertheless, with taxes over the last couple of weeks, we've been spending time on how to reduce taxes. And what I would like to do is summarize some key points. We're not going to go back over these as far as details. If you'd like to do that, go back and listen to the last few Lifetime Income shows that we have done on this subject. We've talked about the importance of deductions above the line and deductions below the line. That's itemized deductions is what that is. As far as being above the line, your pension contributions are important. Reducing investment income tax liability is important. Obviously, you want to keep your investment income up, but what you're trying to do is reduce the tax liability on that. And there were four strategies that you could use as far as certain investments: free, sheltered, deferred, or tax preferred. And as I said, we're not going back through those today, but they're really critical that you go back and listen because these are important for you. Now, the goal is to reduce your adjustable gross income. Why do you want to do that? Well, you want to save on taxes overall, but more specifically to save on Obamacare taxes to avoid losing some of your itemized deductions. Because if you get yourself into too high a tax bracket, that's what's going to happen. To avoid losing your exemptions because they go away at a certain point, and to avoid the additional Medicare tax, which is tied to bracketed income as well. We're not going to go back through these. Listen to the last couple of shows. What we are going to do today, however, springing off of what we have done on the last couple of shows, we're looking at the Trump Republican tax plan and how it will affect you, and moreover, more importantly, how it will affect your retirement planning.
And, you know, this is the interesting thing, because we've heard a lot. Trump ran on a policy of lowering taxes, so have Republicans, and that's been given top priority. Although on the day we're speaking, Paul Ryan shook up the markets. Speaking in London, he talked about, well, we may not get tax reform done by summer. You know, from what we're seeing from our political sources, we get just about every single macro newsletter service that we get has a political analyst. And although the analyst, as we talked about on the weekend program, are saying, you know, don't get your hopes high that you're probably going to get your taxes reduced this year. If they are able to get tax reform through Congress and get it passed, it's more likely to impact you in 2018. Because if it comes at the end of the year, if it happens, they're probably not going to make it retroactive. That'll probably be one of the bargaining chips that they use in Congress. So now, let's take a look at, there's two different plans. There's some similarities between both of them, but you are going to be surprised. Some of you may be seeing your taxes go up. I know that comes as probably a surprise, but let's talk about this. I want to take single individuals first. Now, the one thing both Trump and the Republicans want to do is they want to reduce our current system of 7 tax rates down to 3. Right now, under current law, we have a 10%, 15%, 25, 28, 33, 35, and 39.6. What they really want to do is simplify that down to 3 tax rates, a 12% tax rate, a 25% tax rate, and a 33% tax rate. So they'd get rid of the 35% tax rate, the 39.6, they'd get rid of the 28% tax rate, and they'd get rid of the 15 and 10 and replace the 15 and 10 with the 10%. Now, let's take a look at how this works. If you are making $9,325 or less, you're in a 10% tax bracket. From $9,326 to $37,950, you're in a 15% tax bracket if you're single. Now, pay attention to these next couple of brackets, because these are the brackets that are most going to affect you as a single individual. If you make 37,951 to 91,900, you are in the 25% bracket. And then from 91,901 to 191,650, you are in a 28% bracket. Over 191,000 to 416, you're in a 33. 416 to, I don't know why they even came up with this bracket, from 416,701 to 418,400. That's like, you know, almost $700. You're in a 35% bracket if you make $700 in that bracket. After 418, you go to 39.6. Now, let's take a look at what happens under Trump and what happens under the Republican tax plan. First of all, under $15,000, you would pay zero income tax versus the 10% tax bracket in the 15% bracket. The 12% bracket begins at $15,000 and goes all the way to $52,500. So for many of you who are in the 15 and 25% tax bracket, meaning that you make between $9,300 and almost $92,000, you are going to see a big tax savings. Part of your income, depending on how much you make, is taxed at 25%, will now be taxed at 12%. And the rest of your income that's taxed in that bracket at 15% is going to be taxed at 12%. So you are going to see a major tax reduction. Now, the 25% tax bracket begins at $52,500 versus under present law, the 25% tax bracket begins at $37,951. Now, under the Trump plan, you would be in a 25% bracket between $52,500 and $127,500. However, here's the gotcha, and this is something that nobody's talking about. Once you exceed $127,500, you jump into the 33% bracket at $127,000. Versus under our present system, you would not hit the 33% bracket until your income exceeded $191,650. Let's round it off. Once you make over $128,000, you jump into the higher tax bracket much sooner. However, the good news is there is no 35% bracket and there's no 39.6% bracket. Now, under the Republican plan, there would be zero taxes underneath $12,000. So it's not as generous as Trump. And you would be in the 12% bracket between $12,000 and $49,650. So basically from $12,000 to $50,000, you're going to be in the 12% bracket. The 25% bracket is more generous under the Republican plan. You would stay in a 25% bracket between $49,650 and $202,150. So the Republican plan is more generous to taxpayers versus, let's say, the Trump plan that begins that 33% bracket at $128,000. So basically, you almost get $75,000 or more income that will be taxed at a lower bracket at 25%. The Republican tax bracket of 33% kicks in at over $202,150. Then you're in that 33% bracket. So the Republican plan, if you are a single individual, is more favorable.
You know, that's one of the areas that's not coming up in conversation. Say, for example, if you're single and you're making $128,000 or more, now you're bumped up to another bracket. And this is not being made publicly known or widely known, I guess.
No, and depending on how much you make as a single individual, what you are going to avoid is the 28% bracket, the 35% bracket, and the 39.6. So there's still, you know, if you're an upper income single individual, you're still going to be paying lower taxes. And especially by eliminating the 10% bracket, the 15% bracket, John, a single individual is going to end up paying lower taxes. Now, let's take a look at how this works for a married couple. Now, married couple are in a 10% bracket if you make $18,650 and under. from $18,650 to $75,900, you jump into the 15% bracket. The 25% bracket, I'm going to round these numbers off. The 25% bracket begins roughly at $76,000 and runs to $153,000. The 28% bracket begins at $153,000 and runs to roughly about $234,000. And then the 33% bracket rises at 233 and above. And of course, once you start getting up above 416, you get into the 35 and the 39% bracket. Now, under Trump, you would pay zero taxes as a married couple if your income was under $30,000 a year. Between $30,000 in $105,000, you would be in a 12% tax bracket. So this is a real big, helpful reduction in taxes for most married couples, because for most of them would avoid the 25% tax bracket, the 10% bracket, and the 15, it would just be 12%. At $105,000 to $255,000, you are in a 25% bracket. So you would avoid the 28% bracket and the 33% bracket. Above $255,000, you're in the 33% bracket. So the plan is a little bit more favorable for married couples under Trump. The Republican plan, you would be exempt from paying taxes under $24,000. The Republican plan is less generous. It runs from $24,000 to $99,300, is in the 12% bracket. And then from $99,300 to $255,000, you would be in the 25% bracket. So that's pretty close to where Trump is. And then above $255,000, you'd go in the 33% bracket. So as we look at this, if you are a single individual, you are going to be avoiding the 10% bracket. You are going to be avoiding the 15% bracket. You're going to be avoiding the 28% bracket, the 35% bracket, and the 39.6% bracket. And the fact is, the first 15 grand that you make, you pay zero taxes, because remember, taxes are progressive. So if you made 100,000 under the Republican plan, you're single, the first 15,000, you'd pay zero tax on that. The next 15,000 to 52, almost 53, you'd pay 12%. And on the next, let's say, 48,000, you'd pay 25%. So, John, there's a substantial savings for single individuals and a substantial, really big savings for married couples when you consider you're getting rid of the 10% bracket, you're getting rid of the 15% bracket, you're also getting rid of the 33 and the 35, and the 33% bracket doesn't begin until you make over $255,000. So overall, this is a big, big tax cut to middle-class Americans.
You know, something that's really always irritated me is whenever we get into the idea of tax reform, the first thing you hear chirped out is, well, the tax cuts for the rich. And they don't put this in context because they fail to point out, first of all, that the rich pay the bulk of the nation's income tax by the IRS's own figures, so any cuts will affect that. But if you look at the brackets overall, the proposed brackets, the biggest reduction is actually on middle-class taxes. It's there.
Yeah, it really is. And it carries forward when you talk about the standard deduction and also on taxable income from investments, which we'll cover next. And I want to talk about capital gains, because Trump would leave the current tax rates on capital gains and dividends at 0%, 15%, and 20%. The Republican tax plan on capital gains and dividends is a little bit different. They're saying that we will only tax 50% of your investment income or your capital gains. So, for example, if you were in a 12% tax bracket, your capital gain rate under the Republican plan would be 6%. If you were in a 25% tax bracket, your capital gain would be 12.5%. And if you were in a 33% tax bracket, your capital gains would be 16.5%. So you would pay lower taxes on investment income, whether it's interest or dividends or rental properties, annuity income, whatever it is, you'd pay lower taxes under the Republican plan versus Trump's plan. What Trump would do is the 0 and 15 and 20% tax brackets would align with the three tax brackets. If you were in a 12% tax bracket, you would pay zero taxes on your dividends and interest. If you were in a 25% bracket, you would pay 15% capital gains. And then if you were in a 33% bracket, you would pay 20% in capital gains. So the Republican plan is really more generous when it comes to investment income.
You know, we can see how in some ways under these plans, taxes could go up slightly. But the one that I'm always wondering about is deductions. If you remember under the Reagan tax reforms, they rolled back a lot of the deductions, promising that it would be made up for elsewhere. Well, of course, as soon as nobody was looking, they brought the rates back up again. And so you just saw your deductions go away. Now, both parties, here we go again, both parties are hinting that they're going after itemized deductions, which is what a lot of middle-class people use to reduce their taxes.
Well, they are. But for most middle-class people, this is not going to affect them. This is really going to impact upper-income individuals more than anybody else. Now, under the Trump plan, he would keep all itemized deductions, but he would put a cap on them. So if you were single, your maximum deduction would be $100,000. If you were married, it would be $200,000. Under the House plan, you would get a deduction for your mortgage. You would get a deduction for charitable contributions. You know, they'd still keep the earned income credit, the higher education credit. So there would be, you know, depending on how much, well, there's a certain limitation. You would get more generous itemized deductions under Trump than you would under the itemized deductions that you would get under the Republican plan, because you'd only be able to deduct mortgage interest, which is capped at $1 million plus $100,000 if you have a second mortgage, and then any charitable contributions. Now, I suppose if you were Larry Lots of Bucks and you were donating, you know, $500,000 to charity, you'd still be able to do that and get a deduction for it, where under Trump, it would be capped at $200,000. It'd be interesting to see what this is going to do to charitable gifting. Now, the thing that you need to understand, this is really going to impact those of you who live in a very high tax states, California being one of them, Hawaii, Oregon, New York City, New Jersey, all of these states where you have high income taxes, because as you mentioned, John, one of the biggest deductions for a lot of high income earners is the amount that they pay in state taxes, and especially like California. And you'll want to listen to my program tomorrow when I interview Kathy Fetke. She's a real estate expert, and she's saying there is just a mass exodus out of California now because of what's happening to taxes. They're now going to add a 20-cent tax on gasoline. I mean, they're raising taxes everywhere. If you go to the supermarket, you have to pay 10 cents for to have your groceries bagged per bag, unless you bring your own canvas bag. So everywhere we look, the state is basically raising taxes. And so in California, where the top income tax rate is 13.3, you know, a lot of individuals that are upper income individuals are leaving the state because they're going to, you know, under either the Trump or the Republican plan, you're going to lose your deduction for state taxes, property taxes, and in places like California or New Jersey or New York, where the cost of real estate, property taxes, income taxes are high. This is going to be significant. And you'll want to hear my program tomorrow, because this is one of the big macro themes that we have echoed on our weekend show, is you are now going to see a reverse migration trend out of the East Coast and the West Coast and into the center of the country in places like Arizona, Texas, Nevada, places where taxes and the cost of living are much lower. And this is going to accelerate if this tax plan goes forward, because people are going to start losing their biggest source of itemized deductions, which are really going to impact your taxes. So there is going to be a limitation on deductions, both under Trump and under Republicans. However, the one good news, if you are, I don't know, let's say you are retired listening to this show, you don't have itemized deductions other than maybe property taxes you pay in your home or state taxes. The standard deduction is going up for individuals to $12,000. If you have kids and are single, it's going to go up to $18,000. And if you're married, it's going to go up to $24,000. So there's a little help there from the standard deduction. The other thing, John, that is going to happen here, which is going to really help out a lot of middle-class Americans, is they're going to get rid of the alternative minimum tax, which is 28%. That's the gotcha tax that a lot of people get surprised when they file their tax return. They're looking at their itemized deductions or tax-free income, and then their accountant says, oh, by the way, you owe X amount of dollars for taxes, and you're thinking, how does that happen? It's the alternative minimum tax. They would do away with that. The other thing that they would also do is the above line deduction for child care. They would also phase out, this is something unique, is under Trump's plan, if you are single, and let's say you're a single parent and you take your children to child care in order to work, you would get a deduction for that. You would also get a $5,000 deduction if you're taking care of an elder parent. Now, those deductions would begin to phase out at $250,000 if you're single, $500,000 if you are married.
You know, given that they're planning on, and this is the delight of my heart, given that we're planning to simplify this and get rid of deductions, it might mean that the tax forms get very, very simple to fill out, which I think is one of the big complaints. I looked at how much time I spent this year just complying with our taxes, and I think we probably spent over 20 hours. Then you get to write them a check, you know. But I thought, what a waste of my time. Whereas when we fill out a sales tax return, it takes 15 minutes, Jim.
You know, here's the thing that is going to blow everyone's mind. If, let's say, the Republican plan is the plan that gets passed versus Trump, your tax return will fit on a postcard. Literally, folks, you're only going to have 14 line items. I have a copy of the tax form under the Republican plan, and it's literally small enough to fit on a postcard. You'll be sending a postcard. Item number one, wage and compensation. Item number two, add in one half of your investment income. Number three, subtract contributions to specified savings plans, things like IRAs, SEP IRAs. Four, standard deduction, or subtract your mortgage interest or your charitable contributions. That gets to taxable income on line seven. You don't even get to line taxable income on the present tax form until you get to, I think, line item 40. Number eight, preliminary tax. So you would go to the tax tables, compute your tax. Number nine, subtract child credit. Number 10, subtract earned income credit. Number 11, subtract higher education credit. Line item number 12, total tax. 13, subtract the taxes you withheld. 14, tax refund due or taxes owed. Literally, John, we go from like 60 or 70 lines on a tax form, not to mention all the supplemental forms that you have to fill in to get to those first two pages of your tax return. 14 line items that can fit on a postcard versus our present system. I mean, this is probably the most remarkable thing about the Republican plan is tax simplification. I mean, folks, you don't even need a tax software. Well, you could probably use one, but you don't need a tax accountant anymore. So this could put a lot of tax accountants out of business. You know, I wonder what would happen to H&R Block stock if something like this goes through, because, I mean, my goodness, you know, you don't need a PhD or an MBA to do your tax return. The average person, it would be that simple.
You know, I had always wondered, Jim, you know, you have businesses and corporations and whatever. I do too. And I look at all of this stuff and I wonder why we couldn't make business income at cost of doing business. You know, if you make $100, for example, the tax on that $100 is going to be X amount of dollars, regardless of how many deductions you've got. All right. You just know that when you bring in $100, you have to factor that in as a cost of doing business, and it saves the depreciations. It saves all of the nonsense that you have to build into the whole thing. You just know what it's going to cost to make $100 as an expense. You know, it would seem to simplify that, but you're right. You could get rid of a lot of this, and that may put a lot of people out of business. So I'm not so sure it's going to work. But what is it they estimate every year in the amount of revenue loss to GDP consumed in just trying to comply with all of these tax regulations. It's just unbelievable. And it's non-productive waste of income and money. Tomorrow on the program, Kathy Fetke is going to be our guest. You know, real estate prices are right at their peak. So why is that of interest if you're getting near to retirement? Because if you're nearing retirement and you have a lot of equity in your home, prices are set to drop. This may be the time when you want to get out of that home and make your adjustment accordingly. That's all coming up tomorrow on the program here. Now time for our real life case study, which, as you might have guessed, is based on real life events. We change the names of the people to protect their privacy, but they do illustrate the concepts we have here on the show. And we put up illustrations on the website as well to give you an idea of what Jim is talking about that you can follow along with. And so who do we have this week?
John and Carol Loeffler. No relation to the host.
No relation to the host, right. This is this is going to be a hard sell to the audience, I think, but go ahead.
Okay. Now, this week we're going to talk about Nathan and Kathy Smith. Nathan is age 68. Kathy is age 63. Both are retired. Life expectancy for Nathan, age 90. Kathy, age 93. You know, one of the things that I want to emphasize, if you've noticed, one of the things that we do is we do a comprehensive health questionnaire. It's done based on what actuaries use at insurance companies, and it's done to gauge life expectancy because that is a big determinant in terms of how much money you're going to need throughout your retirement years. So we always like to look at this because, I mean, it's anybody's guess. I mean, you could get on the wrong airplane or get on the wrong freeway and something can happen. But based on general health conditions, family history, etc., Nathan's life expectancy is 90. Kathy's 93. They're basically moderately conservative. Now, let me give you a little color about them. Nathan was a retired actuary. He worked for the same company his entire career, but was recently given a forced retirement package the company is paring down. Based on his age, he did not want to re-enter the workforce. Not too many people do. And Nathan is one of those rare individuals that, you know, got out of college, went to work for one company and worked for that company his entire career. You just don't see too much of that these days. He has been a diligent saver throughout his career, and that reflects that conservative Midwest value. He's currently concerned about the impact of taxes in retirement since most of his savings was in his 401k plan, which accounts for a large portion of their net worth. And that's because anything coming out of a 401k, which is rolled over to an IRA, is taxed as ordinary income. Kathy is a retired real estate agent. She's concerned about her husband's ability to retire. They have a rental property that can produce decent income, but she's concerned about taxes and having to use their own investments. Aside from her concerns, she's also excited about the prospect of retiring and spending time with family and kids and doing some things they wanted to do, which is travel. Now, what is important to both of them? Both want to retire. Nathan, he wants to take the early retirement package. He does not want to go out and find another job. You know, when somebody has spent over 40 years working for the same company, he's just not interested. And besides, his kind of work would be somewhat specific. They want to minimize taxes. They want to make sure they have enough income. And also, they want to leave some kind of legacy for their kids and grandkids. Their budget basically is $87,000 on essentials, $11,000 on discretionary. Their income, $14,000 from their rental. His salary of $85,000. Kathy's salary, based on commissions, $55,000 average. Surplus, just about $55,000. They figured if they retired, their essential budget would drop from 87 down to 55. However, discretionary would go from 11 to 30. So not really much of a reduction. I'm sure many of you retiring, when you think about it, what are you going to do now that you have all this free time? You're going to travel. You're going to take up hobbies. You're going to do other things. And you're going to be spending money on entertainment and leisure more so in the way that you did when you were working. So as we take a look at what their income is going to be in retirement, they had the rental income of $14,000, Social Security for both of them would be 47,000. Their shortfall would be about 24,000. Now, what they have is they have a home free and clear. It's worth about 600,000. Their rental property is worth roughly about 400,000, of which they have an $80,000 mortgage on that rental, but the rental was producing positive income for both of them. Nathan's 401k would be 1.2 million. Kathy's retirement would be 65,000 in her IRAs, and their joint account is 80,000. So total investment income of roughly about a little bit over $1.3 million. The things that we had to take a look at was how to manage taxes, since the majority of their investment assets, almost 90-something percent of them, was based in an IRA. As they roll those retirement plans over into IRAs, well, Kathy's was an IRA and Nathan's would be a rollover IRA. So one of the things that's going to hit them soon, and that would begin with Nathan, he's 68. The minute he turns 70 and a half, he's going to have to start taking required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half from his IRA. All of that would be taxable income. So the other thing is they wanted to make sure that they leave part of their assets to their kids. They wanted a legacy. They also were concerned about longevity since it ran on both sides of the family. What we did is we took basically most of the assets were put in a balanced portfolio between stocks and bonds that produced a little over 41,000. So that would take their total income to 102,000 less their budget. They would have a surplus of 17,000. Now, depending on the proposed tax changes, and that's why we talked about that today, we will utilize a wait-and-see approach. In other words, we're not going to do anything yet because we don't know what is going to happen. If, however, the pending changes go through, Nathan and Kathy may take advantage of a Roth conversion until they reach age 70 and a half. This would reduce taxes over time and create some flexibility for future income sources. In other words, what we would do is we would convert part of their IRA rollover, especially the part, remember when I talked about the amount of income as a married couple that is not taxable because of the tax bracket. So that's one thing that we're considering doing and converting part of that. Because remember, under Trump and under Republicans, the first $30,000 is non-taxable. So we could take an extra $30,000 and then the next, basically, $75,000 is taxed at 12%. So we may be taking out literally over $100,000 a year, rolling it over to a Roth where it becomes tax-free. And this is one thing that we're telling our clients is we're taking a wait-and-see approach. But if these tax brackets go through either Trump or the Republican plan, we are going to be doing a lot of Roth conversions to get tax-free income, because that's one of the things that would hurt both Nathan and Kathy, is the bulk of their assets are in an IRA, which would be taxed as ordinary income. What we plan to do is convert more than half of that over to tax-free income. So we would utilize that as one of the main strategies. And the other thing is we moved their strategy. He was mainly in stock funds, which is what most people do in their 401k plan, which has worked out well, by the way, in these last 8 years in the bull market, because he lost quite a bit of money, as everybody did during the Great Recession and bear market of 2007 and 2009. But he was working, he planned on working to age 70. And so he held on and those stocks came back and it worked out well for him. But I said, look, you're getting ready to retire. You're going to need income that's predictable. You know, you don't want to have close to 100% of your assets in probably the second most highly valued stock market in history. The other thing we did is we updated their trust, and basically we changed some of the IRA beneficiaries to an IRA stretch. So if something happened in the meantime, it would go to their three children, taxed at their brackets over their lifetime versus taxed in the estate all at once. And that's pretty much it, John, because we're right now, we are on hold when it comes to tax planning, because there are going to be some great opportunities, both on the estate tax planning and income tax planning for a lot of people. But the word is right now if it's going to get done, it's probably going to be towards the end of the year. And we're telling at least our clients, and from a planning perspective, we're taking a wait and see, because there are going to be so many different strategies that are going to be put in place as a result of this tax plan. This is going to be the most major tax overhaul since Ronald Reagan in 1986. So just be aware, there are going to be some great, great planning opportunities here for to reduce your income taxes and also to do some great estate planning, especially if you're Larry Lotsabucks and you have an estate over $10 million. There's going to be some great opportunities to plan.
And a reminder again that our guest for tomorrow, Kathy Fetke, is on the program. Real estate prices are at their peak. So if you need the equity in your home as part of your retirement planning, especially if you have a lot of equity in the home, prices are set to drop. Now's the time to make some kind of a move. And Jim, I would just be thrilled if they would do something to simplify the code. You know, if we went to a national sales tax, which is not on the table right now, obviously, it would be great, because the people collecting the tax are not the same as the people paying it. So that eliminates a lot of fraud. Everybody has to pay because everybody buys things. Even black market money, drug money and stuff has to float up because, you know, it winds up paying. April 15th just goes away. You don't have to deal with that. It would be so simple. But unfortunately, that would also take away Congress's control over the goodies that they can offer people. And no matter what we do in tax reform here, even though I'm optimistic, 5 years from now, they'll have it messed up again. How do we know that? It's Congress.
I could see a couple things, and I can see this is the direction we're going into.
Yeah.
John, we will eventually phase out these itemized deductions or limit them, because there's certain special interest groups that are going to want them. Charities, obviously, the real estate industry. But we're going to go to a simplified tax. As I mentioned, the Republican tax plan can fit on one postcard. That'd be a real treat. But I think eventually we're going to go to some kind of value-added tax, which most other countries go. So you're going to collect it on consumption. Get ready for it, folks. It's coming. And what does that mean? The prices of everything you buy are going to be going up. In the meantime, well, we're out of time. And don't forget to listen to my interview with Kathy Fetke. This is really important, because one of the things that we've been emphasizing, it is now time to start thinking about risk. I don't care if it's your major asset is your real estate equity or you have money in the stock market. It's time to think about risk. And Kathy's going to talk about what's going on in the real estate market and the mass migration that you're seeing in high tax states like California, New York, and other states. But in her opinion, the real estate market is peaked. And all of that's coming up tomorrow on the program. Hope you'll be there to listen. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.